Our gospel story today begins right where we left off last week. It is the evening of that day, the first day of the week. It is the day that began with Mary Magdalene going to the tomb of her Jesus before daybreak, only to find that the body she expected to find there was missing. It is the day that she encountered her beloved teacher, risen from the dead, only she mistook him for the gardener until he said her name. It is the day that she ran to tell the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and tell them everything he had said. It is the evening of that day, and the disciples are hiding behind locked doors because they are afraid. And Jesus shows up, no respecter of their barricade, and says, "Peace be with you." And the disciples rejoice. But that's not where the story ends. If that were where the story ended, then today's reading would have gone, "Jesus said, 'Peace be with you,' and the disciples rejoiced, and they all lived happily ever after." But really, that was just the end of the introduction, and the real part of the story was about to begin. And right here today, the real part of the story is about to begin. Because Jesus doesn't leave it at that. He says it again, "Peace be with you." And then he says this incredible thing, "As the Father sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he gives them one and only one instruction about how to go about being his representatives in the world. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Wow. What is it about this forgiving of sins that is so important it becomes the very first instruction given by the risen Lord? The first definition of forgive in my Oxford English Dictionary is to cease to harbor resentment. And the Greek word used here also has the sense of leaving behind or letting go. And what is this sin? Sin is a fracture in our relationship with God. And very often this comes about as a fractured relationship between people. If you are a parent, think about how heartbreaking it is when the children you love are hurting each other, and you will understand why hurtfulness in our relationships with each other is damaging to our relationship with God. Okay, so let's get to the practicality of this instruction that if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I have some thoughts about this from my own life, and I'll share them with you in the hopes that they might resonate with something in your own life. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes in a conversation with somebody, I will say something really stupid and hurtful. And right away, I think, "Wow, that was really stupid." We both go on with our day, but I keep on playing the tape over and over in my mind and thinking about how stupid it was and all the things I could have said that wouldn't have been nearly as bad. Now, that other person may not even remember or care, but pretty soon I'm just wallowing in it. And I'm no longer thinking of myself as Janet, beloved child of God. I'm thinking of myself as She who says stupid, hurtful things. And I get stuck in that. My identity gets bound up with that sin. Now, suppose someone does something thoughtless or hurtful towards me. I tend to do the same thing. I keep going over and over it in my mind until I lose sight of their true nature as a beloved child of God, and they become that guy who cost me a raise, or the neighbor who shovels the snow from her driveway over in front of my driveway. And now there's not only a fracture in my relationship with them, but also in my relationship with God. Do you see how this lack of forgiveness keeps everybody stuck in the place of sin and brokenness? So how do we get unstuck from those things and start the process of healing the fractures? William Menninger, who's a monk at St. Benedict's Monastery in Snowmass, has written a book about the process of forgiveness, and he starts it by saying, "Forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is not condoning. Forgiveness is a form of realism. It allows us to see ourselves, others, and the events of our life as they really are. It does not deny, ignore, minimize, camouflage, or excuse what has been done or how anyone has suffered from those acts. So right from the start, we need to acknowledge that we can't go back in time and undo the things other people have done to harm us. And we can't go back and unsay or undo the mistakes we ourselves have made. The only place we can start is inside ourselves, and the only way we can do it is by allowing God to help us. So no matter how badly you feel about yourself or how angry and hostile you feel towards other people, know that God knows all about it and loves you anyway and greatly desires to assist you towards healing and wholeness. There are a couple of things that are very helpful to me in a situation where I'm feeling resentful or need to forgive someone. The first is to look inside myself and figure out why I'm so disturbed. Am I feeling afraid? Does this situation threaten my sense of security or desire for control or need for approval? Identifying what's going on with my own reaction to a hurtful event helps take the focus off of them and what they did to me, and helps me see where I need to get myself straightened back out. For instance, am I upset because I'm not getting my way? Am I mistaking other people's opinion of me for whether or not I'm loved by God? Is this situation reminding me of something from the past that maybe I haven't dealt with? Perhaps I need to address those things. The other thing that is sometimes helpful to me as I work on forgiveness is to put myself in that other person's shoes. In what way might it be making sense to them to be acting in this way? Perhaps I can identify some state of mind, some past hurt, some insecurity that would lead them to hurt me. Often, I will discover that I have acted in a similar way in the past due to that same insecurity or state of mind. I have an example from my own life that I'll share with you that came to mind when I read this passage about our having the power to forgive people or to retain their sins. Many years ago now, I was married for about 10 years. My husband was in school, and we had an agreement that I would put him through school, and then when he was done, He would go to work and I would go back and finish my degree. He ended up going to graduate school and getting a master's degree and then a doctorate. And as sometimes happens in such situations, we got busy with our different lives, we grew apart, he ended up having an affair, and about the time he finished his PhD, he filed for divorce. Now, I was understandably very sad and angry about this. However, by the grace of God, some other really positive things were happening in my life at the time. I had just gotten my first commission for a couple of large pieces of art for a church, and I was able to move back to Colorado, where I was surrounded by compassionate family and friends. And also, by the grace of God, I was able to look into my own past and recognize that 15 years earlier, I had been in a similar state of mind, dissatisfied with myself and my life, and had acted in a similar hurtful way, having an affair and rejecting someone who trusted me. Recognizing my own self in this behavior helped diffuse the anger and resentment I was feeling. And at some point, I was able to lay down that burden and turn and step into the dance of the next things God was calling me to in my life. Fast forward about 10 years, and I made the casual acquaintance of a woman who turned out to have been through a similar experience a similar number of years before. When the topic came up and she heard the story of my divorce, her reaction was, "You should have taken him to court and sued him for all he was worth." Even after a decade, she was so entangled in the resentment and anger from her own experience that it had become a turbulent, dark cloud within her, through which she couldn't seem to see any ray of sunshine. And I felt so sad for her. Our paths never crossed again, so I don't know the rest of her story. And there was nothing I could do but say a prayer for her. Do you see how the forgiveness is freeing, but the refusal to forgive keeps everybody bound up in the brokenness? It's no coincidence that Jesus keeps repeating the word peace in this conversation where he commissions his disciples to be his representatives of reconciliation in the world. The word he is using, shalom in Hebrew, has connotations far beyond the absence of conflict or difficulty. Its deeper meaning is wholeness or completion. Compassion and forgiveness are key elements in being able to live in this peace that passes all understanding, the ultimate goal of which is wholeness and the healing of the brokenness of the world. So peace be with you. As Jesus was sent by the Father, now he sends us. Let us receive the Holy Spirit. And let us go forth from this place to be a source of peace and reconciliation in the world. Amen.